Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Lay Up Treasures in Heaven, as we pick up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
It used to be in the earlier days of my ministry that I fasted quite often. Obviously, I don't fast much anymore. But in those early days of the ministry, many times I would be fasting and I'd go on my pastoral calls. And some sweet lady would offer me a piece of homemade cake, you know. And I was fasting, you know, for the last couple of days. And what are you going to do? Well, thank you, but I'm fasting. No, I'd just break the fast and eat the cake. Because I figured, hey, if you go ahead and just say, oh, no, I can't eat that, I'm fasting, then you have your reward anyhow. And I wasn't really looking for the reward of man. I was wanting, you know, to receive the reward from God. And so I offered something to eat. If I could get out of it, I would. But, you know, when they bake a cake, you can't really get out of it. They want their reward. Oh, this cake is delicious, you know. Now Jesus moves into a different realm in this sermon as he talks to us concerning our treasures. And basically, negatively, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. A few years ago, there was a great move by many people to buy gold and silver. And they created, through their buying, a demand, an artificial price. Because of inflation, they began to purchase the gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. And all of these men who were writing these McKeever letters and all were encouraging the people to buy the gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. And they were glad to take the worthless dollars that these people had and to sell them gold and silver in exchange for their worthless dollars, or their dollars that would soon be worthless. And they were so magnanimous. I was always a little suspicious of why they would take my worthless dollars and give me gold instead. If gold was going to be so valuable and the dollars weren't going to be any good, why would they then be so nice to me as to take my worthless dollars for their good gold? Yet they were. However, I didn't buy any. Because in James, it said, go to now, ye rich, weep and howl. Talking about the last days, for the misery that has come upon you, because you've laid up your gold and silver for the last days. But now your gold and silver is corrupted. It's not worth anything. Boy, if old Hunt had only read that. How he wept and howled when the silver market broke. And he lost billions of dollars on the futures that he had purchased in silver. If he'd only read James instead of McKeever, he could have spared himself a lot of misery. And now silver's $5 an ounce again. And gold is down around the $300. You know, and so you watch all of your value dissipating. Gold that was $800 an ounce, now $300 an ounce. Ooh. How I feel sorry for those who bought gold at 800 bucks an ounce. Hang on to it. Gold will come back. No. The Lord says, hey, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. The value of gold is apt to depreciate. Silver is apt to depreciate. Moth and rust can corrupt it. Thieves can break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, he has a reason behind this. Why should you be laying up treasures in heaven instead of here upon the earth? The whole reason is this: wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you've laid up your treasures upon earth, then your heart is going to be in the material things of this world. If you've laid up your treasures in heaven, then your heart's going to be in the things in heaven, the spiritual things. Now, one is temporal, the other is eternal. And if you lay up your treasures on earth, they at best are temporal. You lay up your treasures in heaven, they are eternal. Jesus gave a very interesting parable that is very difficult for people to understand, and we'll be getting to it when we get to Luke. It's about the fellow who was going to get fired from his job. And so he was the accountant for his boss, and so he called the creditors in, and he said, "How much do you owe my boss? 100 barrels of oil here, let me change your ticket." And he wrote 50 barrels. "How much do you owe my boss? You know, 10 measures of flour here, let me change it." He made it 5 measures of flour. And he brought all of the debtors in, and he halved their debts because he knew that in 2 weeks he's going to be out of a job. So when he was out of a job, he would be able to go around and say, "Hey, you remember that bill where I cut it in half? You know, I'm sort of needing a little bit." And these people would be obligated to him because of what he had done. Now, Jesus said, the Lord of that servant commended the servant, not for his dishonesty, but for his wisdom, saying that the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. You see, he was using his present position to establish his future. Jesus is telling you pretty much the same thing. Use the present to establish the future. Take opportunities of the present, because you cannot add anything to your spiritual account once you die. I mean, the treasures that you lay up in heaven are that which you are doing now. Once you die, then you can't say, "Oh, Lord, but I wanted to leave it all to you." Everything I have belongs to the Lord, but he lets me use it. You know, and I use it all, and he doesn't get anything left. No, the Lord says, take advantage now. And the reason is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single purpose, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, if the light is in you and is dark, oh man, then how great is your darkness. And no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So this all has to do with laying up treasures. If mammon is where your heart is, if that is the thing that has mastered your life, if you are mastered by your possessions, you cannot then be a servant of God also. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be mastered by two masters. You'll begin to neglect the one along the line. You'll hold the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Men have tried to do it, but you can't do it. Now, the Lord then talks to us about worrying. Don't worry, take no thought. The idea is take no anxious thought, or don't be worried about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or don't worry about your body, what you are going to put on. For your life is more than meat, and your body is more than clothes. First of all, behold the fowls of the air, because they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? So, he is telling us, don't worry. Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, nor do they gather in the barns. Now, the Lord isn't actually advocating then that we're not to plant and we're not to harvest, we're not to work. That is not at all what he is saying, nor are we to be totally passive as far as our needs being fulfilled or supplied. You don't see a little bird standing on a top of a telephone pole with its mouth open, waiting for the worm to fly in. He is active. He does go down and he pecks on the ground and he finds the worm and he eats it. He isn't totally passive. And the Lord isn't teaching us a total passivity here. That, you know, you can just cruise, lay back, do nothing, God will take care of you. That's not scriptural. Paul said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And the Lord has given us the strength and the ability to work. And like my little granddaughter says, God gave me a brain and he wants me to use it. And God's given us the capacities and he wants us to use them. But don't worry. Don't be fretting. Don't say, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay? What are we going to do? You know, and don't be worried about these things because your Father knows that you have need of these things. And your Father sees that the birds are taken care of. Now, if your Father sees that the birds are taken care of, he'll surely see that you're taken care of because he's your Father. And you're more important to him than birds. And so if your Father makes sure the birds are fed, you can be sure your Father will see that you are fed. So don't worry about that. Now, which of you by worrying can add one cubit, which is about 18 inches to his height? Oh, I'm so worried about being a shorty. Oh, you know, I wish I were tall. Oh, and which of you by just worrying about it and sitting there wishing can add 18 inches to your height? Can't do it. Worry doesn't, you know, worry, the Lord is just saying, hey, worry really doesn't have any value. There's no value in worry. Why worry? And why do you take thought, or why are you worried about your clothes? Oh, is my wife here? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Now you get the idea of the spindle, and the ladies, of course, had to make their own thread. They made their own cloth. Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil. They don't sit at the spindle. Yet even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. I mean, Solomon, with all of his wealth and all of his glory, wasn't dressed as beautifully as that lily out there in the field. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field which exists today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Now, you see, Jesus is now bringing in the contrast of worrying to faith. If you really have faith, you will not worry. If you worry, it is an indication that you're lacking faith. Faith and worry are mutually exclusive. O ye of little faith. God clothes that beautiful grass of the field, which today exists and tomorrow will be cast into the oven, burned. How much more will he take care and see that you're clothed? And incidentally, I made a joke about my wife, but I thank God. Those are the things that Kay has come to a place in Christ a long time ago. And I thank God for her and for the spiritual example that she is to me and to the ladies in the church as one who is not overly concerned at all with dress or with anything else. We live very simple lives. And I thank God that he has given me such a partner who sees as I see the simple life that the Lord would have us to live in Christ Jesus. And I kid her, you know, I use her just to get a laugh, but that's probably not right. But God forgive me, I'm sorry. Otherwise, she'll say to me, you say that I do this, and I'm going to go ahead and do it, you know, and therefore, take no anxious thought, or don't be worried, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Your Father knows you need these things. Don't worry about them. Your Father knows you need them. And thus, that is not to be our primary concern. We're not to be seeking those things as the paramount issues in life. But what are we to be seeking? Now, the Gentiles seek those things. Oh, the fashion of this world. The word Gentiles is also translated heathen. The heathen are all seeking. I mean, look at the eateries today, the gourmets. All of the emphasis of the magazines upon food, upon clothes. And it's amazing the interest that the heathen world has in these things. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Priority, oh, how important. Put first things first, and God will take care of the rest. If you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added. God will take care of those. You don't have to worry about those. All you have to do is seek God first and foremost in your life, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and God will take care of everything else. Now, if you look at our lives, and if you look at the time that we spend and are concerned in purchasing the clothes, in purchasing the food, in getting the money to purchase the clothes and the food and these things, you'll find that so much of our time is absorbed because we are exposed constantly to the pressures of Madison Avenue to be conscious about the style, the width of our lapel, or the width of our ties or whatever, because, you know, this is what's in style, this is what is vogue. And so we get rid of clothes before they are really worn out because they're no longer in style. And we have become the victims of this whole commercial system. And we've become lazy in our food preparation. And so we pay $1.25 to get a loaf of bread. When if you want to do just a little work, you can buy raw wheat for 6.5 cents a pound. And you can grind it. And you can make a healthy loaf of bread for 19 cents. But oh, you know, that takes a little extra effort. But don't worry about these things, basically. And that's what the Lord is saying. Don't let this be the paramount issue. Don't let these things be the primary things of your life. Let the primary thing be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God will take care of all these other things. You don't have to worry about them. The Lord knows that you need these things. Again, remember Jesus said, when you pray, don't think that you have to pray a long time. God knows what you need before you ever ask him. And the Lord knows that you need these things. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. And isn't that interesting that most of our worry is about tomorrow? Our worry is always more about tomorrow than it is about today. I'm in today, and here I am, and I ate, and you know I've got clothes. And so I don't worry so much about today, but what am I going to do tomorrow? You know, what am I going to do when that bill comes due next week? And it's usually about the future that our worry is generated. But the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm reminded of the exhortation from James in his epistle when he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, as we finish the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says much the same thing as he likens those who hear his words and do them. They are likened to a wise man who, when he built his house, first of all dug deep and laid his foundation on the rock. Contrasted with the foolish man who hears the words but doesn't do them. And he's like the man who just builds his house upon the sand. And so may the Lord help us as we look at this great manifesto that was laid out for us by Jesus Christ, that we won't be just hearers of the word say, oh my, isn't that marvelous? Oh yes, that's so true. Oh yes, I really shouldn't be worried about these things. Oh yes, I should lay up treasures in heaven. Oh yes, you know, and I agree to it. I say, oh yes, 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 but I don't do it. I'm foolish. I'm building on the sand. I'm building a superstructure that's going to collapse in the storm. It's important that I be a doer of the word and not hearer only. So may God help each of us that rather than admiring the Sermon on the Mount, that we might in reality live the Sermon on the Mount. That these principles might become realities in our own lives, and that we might abide by these words of Jesus Christ, that we might indeed be the children of the Father, and thus the recipients of all of those blessings and joys and goodness that the Father bestows upon his children.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 6 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bring you into a special consciousness of His presence, of His love, of His interest in your life. And may you walk in the consciousness of God's grace and be led by His Spirit. May you come into a new relationship with God, a very personal relationship with God. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
It is my great pleasure to present Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Acts.
The Acts of the Apostles is an open-ended book. Jesus continues even to the present day to work in the lives of people throughout the world through those who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit.
This book also includes a special foreword written by Pastor John Corson.
We studied the book of Acts, but we never saw the book of Acts. But we were seeing the moving of the Holy Spirit. Calvary Chapel family, may you always be known as a people who pray in Jesus' name, that it would be Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. May the Jesus movement continue on.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, The Acts Commentary, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online to read a sneak preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.